The title is The Restoration of a Righteous Man. And we are using Apostle Peter as a case study today. We are going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you are the teacher, we are your students. Holy Spirit, please minister unto us today. Break the word down to the extent that we understand, and it will benefit us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The restoration of a righteous man. Let me start by asking us a question. When we talk about Peter, what comes to your mind? The disciple that denied Jesus. Yes, you're right. The fisherman. Yes. Peter. Let's talk. Whatever you can remember about Peter. He was a brave man. Peter was an outspoken person. Peter could be somebody that was hot-tempered. He was an aggressive man. Peter was very bold. Alright? And you know, Peter also was older than Jesus. Okay? And Peter was a very industrious man who was very hardworking. Peter represented, he symbolized strength for the disciples. Hallelujah. And other disciples of Jesus, we know a few of them by heart. Some of them, Judas Iscariot, James, John, and so on and so forth. Peter was very important, like I have said. Now, when we talk about Peter, Peter made a lot of mistakes in the Bible. Okay? Can somebody tell me one of the mistakes that Peter made? He denied Jesus, yes. He was very emotional. Alright. You know that Peter was very confrontational. Peter, what anybody would not say, Peter will say it. Peter was bold. But that's not where I'm going. All those questions are not the direction of where I want to follow. The direction of where I want to follow is that Peter was a man that was honest. He didn't do everything perfectly. Peter was not a perfect man. He wasn't a perfect disciple. He didn't get all the teachings of Jesus when he was teaching them. He made his mistakes. But something that is very unique about Peter is that Peter was a very honest man. His mistakes were honest mistakes. Okay? And Peter made a mistake that is similar to Judas Iscariot's mistake. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. Okay? Judas didn't say, "I don't know Jesus." He actually said, "I know Jesus." But Peter said, "What? I don't know him." Okay? Judas only went to make money. But Peter denied his best friend. So Peter was not a saint. But something about Peter is that he was an honest man. So that is where I'm going. And I said the title of the message is The Restoration of a Righteous Man. Now let us go to the book of Mark, chapter 14. We read from verse 63 to 72. Are we there? Let's read. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have all heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. We are talking about Jesus here. Verse 65. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crowed twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he went. Now let's read that, the last statement, the last clause. And when he thought about it, he wept, broke down, and cried. We're talking about the restoration of a righteous man. Peter cried. Did anybody accuse Peter at that juncture when he cried? Okay. Why did Peter cry at that juncture? Yes. What else? He never knew he could mess up. Yes. He came back to himself. He realized he did something wrong. And Peter wept. He did not weep something we call crocodile tears today, so that people would look at him and say, oh, the guy, he admitted that he made a mistake. No, he didn't do that. He cried when no one was paying attention. He cried, he was genuine. And as a result of that, he was restored. Something is very important that we should learn from this. And that's the restoration of a righteous man. Righteousness is all about the kingdom of God. Amen? Jesus Christ, he gave an example when he was being accused by the Pharisees. Okay, let's go to that place before we continue. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4 to 7, let's read that place. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Verse 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he called together his friends and neighbors, said to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who needs no repentance. All Christians need to understand this place. Please let us understand it. Because many of us are guilty of this. Christianity of today, we are deviating from this. We do what is right. We believe what is right. We preach what is right. We act what is right. And we are neglecting this part. There's something that is important about someone that is still not in God. The way God looks at unrighteous is different from the way we look at the unrighteous. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ himself, our favorite verse in the scripture, John 3:16, what does he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's something about repentance and restoration that is very important to God. From that place that we read in Luke chapter 14, Jesus Christ said that the farmer, okay, he will leave, he will ignore the 99 that he knows that they are safe. He will go all over places and go and look for just one that was lost. Let us look at that percentage. It is insignificant because if you still have 99, you won't feel the pain. This is not like you lose 99 and you have one. You have 99, you lost one, and you are restless. You will not sleep. You go all over places to look for that one. That is the behavior that God has towards someone that is unrepentant. Now, we are not laying efforts. We are not focusing on somebody that is not yet a born-again Christian. We are talking about people who have been in Christ but have fallen or have made a mistake. Or it could be you or it could be me that we probably discover that we did something wrong. How does God look at us? And if it's somebody, our fellow Christians, how do we look at that person? How do we handle that person? What is happening in Christian community today is that we put label on people that we think that they have done something wrong. And we isolate them. And we allow the devil to destroy them. And now we can bring it to ourselves too. When we make mistake, we condemn ourselves. Or our best friend that know about our mistake condemn us. Or if we even be your spouse, condemn you, look at you. And you did this yesterday. And it could be your friend. Oh, look at you. Is it not you that I used to know? So we destroy everything about the kingdom of God. Look at how God visualized us. We that he called his own today. We were lost. We were sinners. And God sent his own son to come and die for us. Hallelujah. The attitude that I'm preaching today is that we need to start to see things from a different angle. Look at it from God's angle. That this is how God sees someone that is not yet doing it right. Amen. If somebody does something wrong, okay, and you know that this is wrong, you admit that it's wrong, you are not taking an excuse, okay? What is it that we usually do wrong in handling that matter? We judge ourselves. We bring ourselves down. We demoralize ourselves. We destroy ourselves. But you finish. But you tough way. That's it. You can't even do anything right. You always make the same mistake when you say you don't want to make that mistake. Let me tell you this. It's the light of the devil. When God look at things, okay, look at the example of 99 versus 1 over 100. The farmer left everything, passionately looking, searching everywhere that he will be able to find. And when he finds, look at what the man will do. According to Jesus, he said he will take it, put him on his shoulder, and now call the whole village. Everybody, he will throw a party. Let's celebrate. I have found my lost sheep. When there are still 99 people that are more important, and yet he refused to acknowledge him, he acknowledged the one that was lost that he found. This is how God wants us to see ourselves. This is what God wants us to be working on in our life so that he can be able to perfect his purpose and be able to take us to the kingdom of God. Let's go back to the story of Peter. What happened to Peter? Peter realized. What did Peter do? Peter cried. Did Peter Peter go and hang himself like Judas Iscariot? What did Peter do? Peter went back to the fold. He went back to the other disciples. He started to mourn alongside the cold disciples. My point is, Peter did not destroy himself after he realized his mistake. He retraced his step back and do the right thing. That is what the lesson I'm trying to pass across to us today. It is not the end of your life. Mistake is not the end of your life. God is much more interested in you, even as a sinner, than how you will condemn yourself or anybody around you will condemn you. The devil doesn't want people to realize this. That is why people will now put you and destroy your image, okay, lie about you or do whatever they can do. Maybe physically, maybe by stabbing you from the back, gossiping about you. They will do anything. It's the devil behind it, and they allow the devil to use them. But understand this. It doesn't matter what is happening around you. It does not matter what people are saying about you. It does not matter what is happening in your thoughts. What matters is that God is much more interested in you, like that one sheep that was lost. Hallelujah. We have cleared the ground of one of the lies. You are not finished. Like the thought will come to your mind that you are finished. And you are not the worst. When you make a mistake, the devil will make you feel like you are the worst in the whole world. Inasmuch a person can admit and turn to God, God will welcome, God will celebrate. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes when we read the parables of Jesus, we don't understand. This man kept 99 safe somewhere. He went inside the jungles looking everywhere to search for one that was lost. And when they found him, he didn't make it a secret. He threw a party. Who will do that? He threw a party for a stray sheep that will not listen to the master and walk away and got lost. He threw a party. My sheep was lost. I have found him. Let's come together. Let's celebrate. I pray that the Lord will help you to understand that the love that God has for you is much more important than anything else in life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The truth is this. There's nothing in life that repentance cannot redeem. You may lose friends. You may lose resources. You may lose valuable goods. But as far as repentance is concerned, when you repent, God will use that to redeem you, to restore you, to make your head better than your beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of things are happening today. We human beings, we destroy each other. We condemn each other. We trash each other. That's going to Christianity. You can commit the whole sin in the whole world. If you have not fornicated, you are not a sinner. You can be a saint. You drift into fornication. Christian community will not forgive you. Or you are pregnant before marriage. Every day they see that child, they will use it to judge you. We are doing things that may change the generations today. God does not write anybody off. God does not destroy. It's not in the image of God to destroy anyone that repents. If the person does not repent, it's a different story. But if the person repents, God will do anything to redeem you, to restore you, and make the best out of you. You know the worst thing you must be careful of is for you not to allow yourself to be destroyed by yourself. Because it's another day, you can choose not to be my friend anymore. But if I'm at peace with myself, anybody else that God brings to my life, I'll be able to work with that person and celebrate that person. But if I don't forgive myself because of Sister Malade neglected me or walk away from me, even if God provide a better person, I'm still not appreciating that person. Because the thought will always be there. The condemnation, the guilt, the vengeance will also be there. So let us see that if God sets you free, nobody else can condemn you. If God has justified you, let them use the accusation. Let it become a song that they are singing against you. As far as God is concerned, the way he sees you is different. Hallelujah. No matter what has happened in our past, it is not going to determine our future. It is not going to determine our next life. When I mean next life, I mean our destiny. Where God is taking us, we are getting here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I have said this to us. What is the meaning of repentance? What is the meaning of repentance? Can somebody tell us? Changing our ways from bad to good. Yes, repentance. Look at us. Retracing our steps, yes. Repentance. Look at Peter. Peter has not made any decision. He only cried. But his cry was truthful. It was genuine. And that is the beginning of a great thing in anybody's life. Oh, I was wrong. Oh, it was my mistake. You admit it. And God knows that you mean it. That is the beginning of the great thing in life for you. Let us know how to come to the place of repentance in our lives. Hallelujah. If you remove repentance, there is no Christianity. Are you listening to me? Some religions will cut your hands if you steal. But in Christianity, If you remove repentance, Christianity is dead. It doesn't exist. Jesus Christ came because of repentance. Jesus Christ is died because of repentance. That is the beauty of Christianity. It does not matter how much people judge you. If you can repent, God will rejoice with you. God will restore you. God will establish you. God will prosper you. God will make you fruitful. It will take you to a far journey that anybody else could not imagine. Because you have done what Christianity requires. You have obeyed the principle of the kingdom. And it's going to be well with you. Amen? Today, I want you to pray that God, I am repenting of anything that I've done wrong. And I'm making it genuine. I'm not doing it because of anybody. If I don't pray that prayer, as well as somebody else can listen to you. Pray it to yourself. I say, God, I am repenting of any mistake that I've made. I am sorry. My confession, my repentance is genuine, is truthful. I want to please forgive me. And from what I've heard today, you can take me further. You can do great things. You can do excellent things. You can make my life better than people that are even more holy than me. Because I've exercised repentance. I am sorry. I repent. I change my ways. I come back to you. Please forgive me in the name of Jesus. I want you to say, God, I am now ready to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to become a better person. I will not repeat the same mistake again. I want you to say, God, I thank you because I know you are happy with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Before I hand over the microphone, I want us to pray this last prayer, and we're going to pray it on our feet. We have to be agent of positive change in the life of people around us, in Christian community. From today, when anybody falls from grace, what are we expected to be doing as children of God? We have to do what? We have to leave that person home. We have to give a shoulder. Thank you for that English. Stand up. Give a shoulder for them to cry on. Encourage them. Walk with them. Okay? Somebody that has already destroyed himself through his thought. You are not expected as a child of God to continue to destroy that person. You are supposed to hold that person's hand. Help the person to be restored. Hallelujah. Christianity is love, is not it. So we are turning this to a prayer and we are going to say, God, from today, help me to be a true representative. Somebody that will be able to walk with other people that are falling from grace and restore them. Make me somebody that can restore somebody else to faith after they are falling. Let us bend our feet and pray this prayer. I know it's not a prayer about you. It's about prayer of somebody else. But let God see your heart that you really mean it. Lord, help me that I will be an instrument of restoration to another person's life, to another person's faith, to another person's in the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Pray that prayer. Help me to place spiritual maturity that I will not look from the same angle that everybody else is looking. I will not be a judge, but I will be a redeemer. I will be a restorer. I will help the weak to become strong. I will walk with someone else so that they can be on their feet and they can become better people. Lord, give me the strength, the anointing, the grace, the Holy Spirit to be effective, to be a true soldier of Christ that helps to restore my fellow brothers and sisters. And God, I pray, because you pray for Peter, you say, after you have become strong, strengthen your brothers. Father, I pray for me too. I pray for myself. Pray for yourself. That God, after you have made me strong, help me to strengthen my brothers. Help me to strengthen my sisters. In the name of Jesus. Father, help me that God, I will be strong to be able to be an instrument of blessing for someone else. In Jesus' name we are praying. Father, we thank you for who you are. We give you all the glory. Like we have said in the beginning, we don't know who the message is meant for. We don't even know if somebody is among us here or not. We don't know if it's someone we listen to it online. But we that we are here, we are praying for ourselves right now. That God, Father, that from today we will be looking at things from a different angle. We will not follow the multitude. We will not be the destroyer of other people's faith. We will not be condemned. We will not be gossip. We will be instrument of positive change. Even when we cannot do anything else, we can pray. Help us to be supportive, to be source of strength, source of restoration. Become agent man, agent woman in the land that God can count on, that he can use to redeem and save in the name of Jesus. We receive this by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.